Have a motion for October 2nd minutes, please.
I'll make a motion. Second.
Any discussion, corrections? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Carries. Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So the first thing is modifying and adopting agricultural district number 2 as part of the 8-year review process.
Make a motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
And the second item is modifying and adopting agricultural district number 7 as a result of the 8-year review.
Motion.
Second. Oh, I'll make a motion.
Second.
He's asking.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Okay. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Jack?
Yeah, just an item that we thought by your resolution that we thought would perpetually designate CVB until as the designated tourism promotion agency. State didn't like the wording, so they're asking us again to annually designate them as our official tourism promotion agency. Why that's important to them is they can leverage state grants with that designation. Were they not to be designated, they couldn't.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Jamie, please.
Majority of the agenda.
And we're going fast. You don't have to have it, Jamie.
I won't take up the entire time. So I appreciate the, you know, being back here. It's been several months. You know, Jack and I have been trying to get myself back on the calendar of this committee, but because of your schedule and my schedule, it's been a few months. So I'm glad to be back in front and talking about the things that that we've been working on. Interestingly enough, I told my board in January that it was probably going to be a slow year because every election year where there's a presidential election is a slow year. And I can honestly say that we've been a lot busier and had a lot of other things going on than I anticipated. So I'm happy to come as sort of a preview to our annual report and talk about a few things today. So I put together a few slides more to guide my discussion than anything else. Got a couple of projects up there that we've been actively working on since I was here last time. These aren't inclusive of everything, you know, over the year, but just since the last time here, we've been working very closely with Corel. You know, they've got a new management team in place. They're learning about us. We're learning about them. But the good news is, you know, they know glass. You know, they own Anchor Hocking, which is a cookware or dishware business that many people are familiar with. They bought the Corel and Pyrex brand. One of the first things they did, which wasn't a complete surprise, but it's unfortunate, is they did close the Pyrex plant in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and move that to their facility in Ohio. But they've assured us that, you know, the Corel plant, the pressware plant in Corning, is going to continue to stay here. It is a one of a kind facility. It's the only place in the world that makes Corel dishes, and they just got done investing over $60 million in rebuilding one of the tanks and expect to fire that up after the first of the year. So they're making substantial investments in continuing to grow that facility, and we're staying very close to them and helping support them in any way that we can. Corning Museum of Glass, just a couple of weeks ago, had their ribbon cutting for their Studio Next project. This is a real intriguing project, and not many people, you know, if you haven't followed it, it's pretty impressive what they've done there, because they've basically converted one of their buildings into an education and research facility. They have expanded their public glass making, but they are now the global presence for learning how to blow glass, and glass is an artistry they're going to be bringing in artists from all over the world on an annual basis to stay and live in Corning as they learn their trade. And it is really going to put Corning Museum of Glass, you know, on the map as far as a premier location to learn the art of blowing glass and glass making. So that was a significant investment that they and Corning Incorporated made, and they just cut the ribbon on that. And if you haven't been over there to blow glass, you ought to just you know, go over and check out the new facility. The old studio was very cramped. This one is quite, you know, quite a bit larger and very modern, and really going to set themselves apart from the rest of the glass making world. HP Hood in Arkport. I love this project because it's a fairly small project. They're doing a small expansion, but they're investing substantially into equipment to expand their hell of a good dip line. People are always surprised to know that all hell of a good dip is made in Arkport, New York. The only hell of a good container that's not made in Arkport, it's made in another New York State plant, is if you go in Sam's Club and you get the big container of hell of a good dip, that's not made in Arkport, but everything else is made in Arkport, and they're priming up to take hell of a good nationally. Right now it's basically a Northeast brand, and they are looking to grow that business nationally, which will have a significant impact on milk, the milk demands and milk needs in our region. So, you know, it's a real interesting facility, and what they do there is quite amazing considering that plant's been there for over 100 years. Jill and I just walked through it with Senator O'Meara and Assemblyman Palmisano, a couple of weeks ago now. They're making all these cottage cheese. They're making their own brand of cottage cheese. They're making a lot of different labels over there in the cultured world, but their premier product is hell of a good. And they did kind of tip us off and say that they're going to be introducing a new flavor right after the first of the year. Apparently they, every 2 years they have a flavor that they rotate. And I think they're rotating out their buffalo wing. I think that was the one, the buffalo wing dip. And they're going to be introducing something new, and they've assured us that it is fantastic and better than the buffalo wing. So when that hopefully product comes out in January,
pumpkin spice.
What's that?
I hope it's not pumpkin spice.
I'm guessing it'll be something with dill. That's the new fad.
Yeah. So whatever it is, stay tuned. We'll report back to this committee of what it is, and then you can go out and, you know, you can try it and give us your feedback on it. But yeah, it's amazing when you go outside of our community and you say, well, Steuben County is the home of hell of a good dip. People just, you know, have no idea that it's all produced here. And then, you know, the other project I've got up here is TNR Environmental. They've made substantial investments in the Bath Industrial Park up across from where Amazon is behind Simmons and Rockwell. They moved their offices up there, and they just broke ground on their Momentum project, which is their 360 recycling facility. That was delayed about a year, primarily because of some permitting issues they needed to get with DEC on. But they have broken ground on that just in the last couple of weeks, and they're going to be building that new facility out there, which will completely build out that industrial park you know, behind Simmons and Rockwell. So a lot of good things going on. We've also been engaged with other companies like Bellagioso. They are currently producing about 3 million pieces of string cheese a day. Paleo string cheese. They are just, you know, going through that, and they're going to be releasing some new products, which we were able to sample, but I can't tell you what they are. But stay tuned. Some of our local grocery stores will have the products on the shelves very soon. So their things are going very well there. We've also worked with Stern & Stern on, you know, some significant equipment modernization. We're waiting for a state grant announcement on that to see if, you know, we can assist them over in Hornell. And Siemens Energy. Siemens is making some substantial investments into their on-site infrastructure right now. They're putting in, you know, new water lines and a new fire suppression system. And, you know, every time I go in that plant, since they've closed Olean and moved all production here, it's just amazing to see the technology and the investment that they've made inside that facility. They're hovering right around 500 individuals, and, you know, and continuing to add slowly you know, as the economy ebbs and flows. Next slide, please. But of course, the big announcement that we are just completely thrilled with was the recent announcement of our $16 million award from the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure, Chrissy. I lost the wording. The Chrissy Grant. It's through the Federal Rail Administration. We've been working with Alstom and Norfolk Southern on this since about May, where we were the applicant and we were awarded $15.98 million to the IDA in partnership with Norfolk Southern Railway and Alstom and Binghamton University's New Energy New York Consortium to build what Alstom is calling the next generation of freight engines. Right now, there are roughly 10,000 freight engines in service in the United States, and most of them are 1970s vintage. And in the Northeast, when you know it gets cold, they sit and idle 24/7, burning fuel during that time, but also spewing emissions from 1970s technology. And Alstom is working with NS to look at developing this new technology, which will basically take the existing freight engine, tear it down to basically its frame, and then rebuild it as, you know, as a Prius, basically. So it's going to be a clean diesel battery hybrid engine. And Alstom feels that this is the wave of the future, because the battery technology actually provides more torque and more horsepower, which is, you know, what the engines need. But they also understand that the infrastructure doesn't exist and the technology doesn't exist to allow for a complete battery freight engine. There's no way to charge them. It takes too long to charge them. You know, along their rail lines, there's very little electric infrastructure. So what they're basically doing is they're putting the clean diesel on it to charge the batteries and provide extra power when needed. And that's going to be developed at the Alstom's Kenona facility, which was the Bombardier facility that was acquired when Alstom and Bombardier went through their merger. This is, to me, this is, you know, a phenomenal project because, one, it saves a facility that I, you know, thought was probably on the chopping block because it was a Bombardier facility that Alstom acquired. You know, it supports jobs. You know, we've heard things from 40 to 60 jobs for this initial build. A lot of that, though, may very well be pulled from Hornell because as Hornell's production processes go down the other side of the Amtrak contract, instead of laying people off, they'll probably just transfer some people over from Hornell here. So it's more about a, you know, job retention from an employment standpoint. But it does develop new technology and it sets Kenona and Steuben County up to be basically their freight engine technology center of North America. And you know, if this takes off like they believe and the federal government believes it could take off, you know, we could be rebuilding 10,000 freight engines, you know, over the course of several years in Steuben County. So you know, we're just thrilled to get this award and thrilled to be partnering with Alstom and Norfolk Southern on it. So all of those funds will come to us. We're working right now to figure out how they're going to go to Alstom and NS, and, you know, have a number of conference calls over the next, you know, several weeks to get through that process. Work will likely begin, I would say, mid-2025-ish. They're determining now if they need to do any upgrades to the existing facility to do this. But again, it's a real exciting project and secures this technology here and sets us up real well for the future. So we're thrilled to be able to report on it. Just a couple of other projects we've been working for, you know, several years on now, which are finally coming to fruition. You've got the Dana Lyons facility that is slated to close with Providence on November 15th. So Pike is already in there. Pike Construction is their construction firm. They are already in there doing selective demolition. And, you know, they're going to start after the first of the year, once they get through that selective demolition, starting to renovate and rebuild that facility. It is a, you know, a roughly $29 million project, $28 million and change, I think is what it was. It's been vacant for over 15 years. There's going to be 49 residential units in it. And then the cafeteria is going to be the Waterman Arts Center. You know, they're going to have their arts facility in the back in the cafeteria. And I was over talking to Walt Longwell yesterday. They're very excited to go in there and can't wait for the project to get underway. So that one's been a long time coming. And then in the bottom corner, Wayland's downtown in 2022, There was a devastating fire in downtown, which basically wiped out one third of Main Street in Wayland. We've been working with the village and have identified a developer, John Palmer, local developer. He redeveloped the hotel across the street, Palmer's Last Stop. Great restaurant. If anybody's in the Wayland area, I highly recommend it. But he has secured the properties across the street. He's basically done the cleanup and demo, and he is going to close in November on a Restore New York grant that we helped him receive. They're going to be redeveloping those properties to 9 apartments, 4 commercial units, and it's about a $2 million investment. This is, again, one of those projects that without the support of all the parties involved, including the state of New York, we'd probably be looking at a vacant parking lot there. Those buildings were just completely destroyed and gutted. And, you know, through the investment of the Restore New York funds, those properties are now going to be saved and revitalized in the village of Wayland and, you know, put 4 storefronts back on, back on the map. Just a couple of updates. Again, more projects we've been working on, and these are a result of the direct support of the county and your investment into the IDA to provide support to municipalities for infrastructure and community development work. Town of Bath wastewater project, which is the Lake Salubria project, that's undergoing regulatory review with DEC and Hunt right now. The town is working through, as we speak, developing the district budget. But on Friday, we also learned that the project was awarded a New York State EFC grant of $1.2 million, which basically will secure that project and there won't be any concerns about future funding and debt service, because this will help bring that debt service number down to a much more manageable number. So that was good news. And the project, this is one of those projects I have been working on since I started 14 years ago, the Village of Hammondsport, wastewater project. I'm happy to say the main system is completely done. It's hooked up to electricity. It's been tested. And the reconstruction of Sheether Street has been done. And now they are working on hooking up all of the laterals to the businesses. They're about a third complete. And we'll be working on, the remainder of those until they get done. But, I'll be glad to finally put a nail in that coffin and have that project completely done. But we're inching closer, and we've got users hooked up and into the system. So it's good news for that project. Sticking with the Village of Hammondsport and the town of Urbana, I've helped co-chair the Village and Town's New York Forward process. They received earlier in the year a $4.5 million award through the state's New York Forward program. That process, once they get the award, then the state comes in with a consulting team. There is a local planning committee established, which I was co-chairing with the mayor and the supervisor. And there is basically a public call for projects that goes out to identify projects that will then be considered to receive some of this funding. The local planning committee just wrapped up a 6-month effort to identify those projects. And this slide represents some of those projects and the project list. The only one on here, and you can't see it very, very well, that is crossed off that got put back on was the Curtis School Adaptive Reuse Project. Initially, the developer was looking at requesting 2.4 of the 4.5 million, and the local planning committee was not comfortable giving over half of the money to one single project. So we spent a couple of weeks working closely with the developer on that project to whittle that down to about $882,000 and change, and found other sources that we could go after to help assist with that redevelopment. So that project was put back on. So in total, if you move to the next slide, you can see that there's a total investment being proposed of just over $19 million out of those projects. Which is asking for, would be total ask of New York Forward funds of $7.8 million. If you look at the breakdown between private and public, you've got about, the private, of course, is $11.7 million of new investment, asking for 1.3 in New York Forward funds. The public nonprofit is about an $8 million investment, but they're asking for the vast majority of the New York Forward funds. That's because public projects can ask for 100% funding on their projects. So, of course, that's what everybody asks for. These totals are combined, and the project list now goes to the state, and the state will then determine which projects will be funded out of that $4.5 million. Those awards are expected to be made sometime late spring, early summer of next year. And then those projects at that point in time that are selected can move forward. But it's been a good process to go through. It's been an interesting process to go through. And right behind this, we've been working very closely with the Village of Bath on their New York Forward application, which has been submitted. And on November 20th, the state Regional Economic Development Council representation will be in town doing a walking tour of the Village of Bath in consideration of their project. I think there's five applicants that were made for New York Forward throughout the region, the village being one of them. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that goes well. Next slide. So my renewable energy slide. And I've said this before, Steuben County is a leader in the state is when it comes to wind and solar projects. But interestingly enough, with other technologies coming on board, we're starting to see things like the Wagabox at the landfill, the biodigester at Lent Hill Dairy, and other technologies look at Steuben County as far as the generation of power. On Friday, we closed on the second phase of 8 Point Wind in Fremont. So construction should start on access roads and clearing of pads relatively soon. Now that closing has occurred, that's going to double the size of the Barron project. And right behind it, we're expecting Canastillo Wind and Prattsburg Wind to advance very quickly thereafter. Once Canastillo and Prattsburg Wind are developed, I would say that we're probably done as far as wind development. The vast majority of the wind resources will be utilized. And I don't see additional wind projects coming to Steuben County. So, I do think there will be a lot of solar. As our energy technologies and markets evolve. But from the wind standpoint, I think we're going to tap out. Just to put it into perspective, and I haven't done a total recently on revenue from wind projects, but the Barron Wind Phase 2 project is going to generate almost $17 million of new revenue for the communities that it's impacting. So these are not insignificant amounts, and they are in communities that would not be able to leverage that kind of funding through just a traditional economic development or housing development model. So the impacts of renewable energy on Steuben County have been significant. Next slide. So we talked about the Southern Tier Clean Tech Strategy. I was here earlier in the year and gave a presentation on the work that is being done with our partners across the region. The strategy itself is intended to create a business development focus on a regional business development focus on how we can attract new private sector investment in what we're classifying as the clean tech strategy. The Alstom project is a perfect example of that. That's the type of project that we hope we'll be able to leverage back into the community as part of this strategy development. Work is wrapping up on this analysis as we speak, and the analysis is going to not only create the strategy, but also take a look at our asset inventory, do a SWOT analysis. It's going to provide us a comprehensive review and cataloging of available sites in the Southern Tier, including those in Steuben County, and then make recommendation for improving the Southern Tier's existing clean energy, clean tech growth prospects like the Alstom project. Next slide, please. Which has led us into, taking an advanced look at some sites and some properties that we feel are going to be prime for this type of development. We just engaged with McFarland Johnson to perform a Route 54 corridor site analysis. So we're going to basically take a look at all of the properties from, I would say, the Phillips site up to just beyond Simmons and Rockwell, and we're going to look at that corridor for potential for new industrial site development. McFarland Johnson is, like I said, we just engaged with them. They're going to be in town in a couple of weeks to sit down with us and start to map out the process. But that this is a direct result of the clean tech work. You know, we know that we need to be prepared and we need to have sites ready to go. So we have, you know, been aggressive in looking for opportunities like this. We're still engaged with a number of the property owners. We've already secured some of the property, and we hope to move forward with that process, or we'll be moving forward with that process in the coming months. Next slide. So that leads me to my invitation, and I'm going to send this to Jack and ask him to send a copy of it out to all of the legislators. We are going to be doing a public unveiling of the Clean Tech Corridor Strategy, and we invite all of you to attend. It's going to be held on Wednesday, December 4th, from 3 to 4:30 at LECOM in Elmira. We're also having another one in Broome County in Binghamton on the morning of the 5th, where representatives from Newmark will be coming into the community and basically providing a presentation of the final strategy. We expect to get a draft of that in the next week or so that we can review, send any comments back to. But then once the strategy is presented, then the real work begins talking about implementation. And I've actually had a meeting this afternoon with some of our regional partners to start talking about what a regional business development focus looks like. It's been very clear. And Kelly, I think you were at one of those sessions that we had with Newmark. You know, when a firm like Newmark, which is a global site selector, comes into a community, they don't want to talk to the county person first. They want to come in and they want a more regional focus. They want to know exactly what the region can provide and then look at the sites and then talk to the county people. So I believe that because we don't have a formal regional business development focus, that we are missing out on opportunities. I've often said that I'll compete with Chemung County, I'll compete with Broome County all day long, but if we don't get those opportunities to compete, we've lost out. So that's going to be the focus of our discussion this afternoon, and I believe one of the recommendations that's going to come out of this clean tech strategy. So we're excited to see, you know, get that process wrapped up and be able to move forward with whatever the next phase of this development and opportunity looks like.
And I just sent it to everyone since I just had it pulled up and put it on my calendar, so everyone has it.
Perfect. Thank you, Jack. With that, any questions? I'll wrap up and open it up for discussion. Yes.
You know, since the Alstom diesel battery rebuild incorporates diesel product, is there any chance that Corning Incorporated's diesel program would be part of that?
Possibly. You know, but I think it would be as a component to the diesel engine, and I suspect that Alstom is going to buy those diesel engines from somewhere else. So you know how that unfolds, I'm not sure. And keep in mind, you know, right now we're building the prototypes and we're testing them. It'll be, you know, it's going to take time for that technology to prove itself out. So, you know, when I say that, you know, there are 10,000 of these that we'd like to rebuild in Steuben County, that's probably a five years out before we see that actually happen, because what's going to occur is they're going to build the engines. And then those two prototypes are going to go to the Binghamton Norfolk Southern Yard. And this is the real exciting part for this regional collaboration, because what Norfolk Southern and Alstom have proposed is that they've got some technical challenges regarding battery drain, power drain, how they recharge those, that they're hoping to figure out as far as this prototyping occurs. But because it's going to be done in Binghamton, they're talking about putting real-time sensors on those engines and have those real-time sensors feed back into the university, which has the battery technology research going on. So the university has been engaged in those discussions, and we've sat in some of those conversations, and I can tell you that it's way over my head, you know, and it to see the instructors and the researchers at the university talking to Alstom about things like battery drain and what, you know, the temperature differential means and how much power they're going to need and when they're going to need it. it closes that loop, and I think it really sets Alstom up, sets us up to grow this opportunity in the future, because not only do we have the production capacity, but now we have the research and development capacity out of Binghamton University. But to your point, Corning could be part of that circle as this technology does develop and gets proved out.
Thank you.
Is there any news on what Corning's planning on doing with C building, Decker building, A building in Houghton Park?
So I had a dinner meeting with some, you know, folks at Corning here a couple weeks ago. And what I can say is that, you know, as those of us who own Corning stock have seen, you know, things have stabilized, you know, financially for them, at least for the moment. But they also don't have any plans at the current moment to grow people and move people into those facilities. The good news is they don't have any plans for those facilities. So they've basically kept them in their portfolio. They have no plans to try to sell or dispose of those buildings at the moment, or anytime in the future from, you know, what their current planning is, but they also don't have any, you know,
what about Sitel building on Canada Road?
Well, I threw that at them and I said, you know, this is exactly what happens when you just dump property in our market, because that got sold to a New York City developer. And I saw it show up on Facebook Marketplace here about a month ago for lease for people to store boats and stuff in. And I reached back out to the owner who we'd been engaged with and the town of Irwin had been engaged with. And there's been like no response or no reaction. So, and I said to Corning, I said, this is what happens when you just have a fire sale with property in this community, that, mm-hmm. like you have, because there's not a huge market for that type of demand. So if there is going to be something that occurs, you should be engaged with us and with the community to put together a more formal redevelopment strategy to try to figure out what to do, so we aren't just left with big empty buildings. They understand that now.
Family Life Network.
I'm looking at James here. From
they did a lot of their underground stuff, and then you don't see activity.
The last I heard from them, and it's been probably a month or so since I've reached out, was they had to do some facility redesigns because when they started digging foundations, they ran into water table issues. And they quickly realized that their current design was not going to work because the orchestra pit was below grade. And if they, you know, if they kept it that way, they were going to have water infiltration problems. So the last I knew is they were going through a redesign to try to figure out how they could do that without raising the height of the building and going back.
They wouldn't have known that when with test boring before the design was even done.
They were told that before the design was even done. this is not a new concern. So
it works in mysterious ways, right? That's yes, what they'll tell you.
Yes. So I, you know, no indication it's not moving forward. It's just they've had to pull back and redesign. And I think those redesigns are likely, you know, changing the budget numbers a little bit. But I do admit that it's been a month or so since I reached out to that team. And if I get any update on that, Scott, I'll let you know.
Jamie, any timeline as far as a Curtis School in Amherstport when it's going to be done?
No, they've got to get funding. So the part of the Curtis School request to New York Forward is now it's got to go back to Albany, and Albany has to make a decision on whether or not that project is going to get funded through the New York Forward request. Now, the fact that they brought that request down significantly, I think tees it up well. Also the fact that that's really the only true housing project in the community, also tees it up well, but they won't hear an answer from the state until well into 2025. So, you know, if that's the case, then you're probably looking at a 2026, build. I mean, they could get started in 2025, but it probably wouldn't be done until 2026.
Are they talking about apartments or are they talking about condos?
No, they're talking about apartments. Yeah. And there, you know, so there's I don't have the exact number of units that they're putting in there. They're limited on how many they can put in there because of the historic preservation requirements, because they can't tear out walls. So the units are ranging from $1,600 a month on up to $2,500 a month, which are on the high end of what the current market is, but not out of line for what the current market is in the Hammond Sport community. You know, from the research they've done and the research, you know, that we've done just from talking to people on the street.
Any further questions for Jamie?
Is the IDA involved in the St. Vincent redevelopment? No?
Nope, they have not approached us on that, you know. So the information that we hear is, you know, is just cursory information. But no, we're not. We haven't been involved and engaged.
They applied, right? They've reapplied for funding because they didn't get it the first round, so the second round.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical with that type of funding. You know, Curtis went through three rounds of requests because there's so little funding in that program and so much demand that it usually takes 2 to 3 times to apply before you can get that type of funding. Yes,
Hilda. City Council just approved helping to get the, I don't know if it's Restore New York.
Restore. They're applying for a Restore for that. Yeah. Yeah, and we did well on Restore last time around because out of the entire Southern Tier, we received 2 awards. We were the only county to receive 2 awards, which was the Dana Lyons School and the Village of Wayland project. And we received over half the funding out of the entire region. So hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we'll be able to continue that success with this next round because the Curtis School is applying for a Restore, and then you've got St. Vincent's applying for a Restore. So, you know, we're hopeful we can secure both of those.
The more I think about it, those numbers are not aligned. Initially, my initial reaction, 1,600 to 2,400 is high. But then you think of the values going up in the Village of Hammondsport, they aren't really that high.
No, and then then if you think about it on a per square foot basis too much, because you can't move any of the walls.
Yeah,
so, you know, you can't, you like the library up there, and I've been in that space, you know, it's a wonderful space. I would love to have an apartment in that because you can see right down the lake, but it is a big space and that's going to be one large unit because they can't move the walls because the historic preservation stuff. So you're going to have large units for the amount of money that you're going to spend.
Any further questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, Carol.
Well, it's not for Jamie, it's just for Jack, I guess. At the last AIP meeting, we discussed having stakeholders come in and talk to us about the PFAS. Is there any movement on that? Or
Mr. Hanna actually wanted to
that's going to be under new business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You're ahead of the game. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, you. Thanks, Jill. Yeah, so that's what we're going to discuss next, is having some guest speakers come in and talk about the materials being spread on our agricultural lands. And Jack and Tess have been working on getting some speakers. I think we're at 3,
yeah,
potentially 3 right now. And then Jack and I have been discussing when we're going to do it. My suggestion is we do it after the next AIP meeting in December versus a special meeting some other time and trying to get everybody back in. But I'd like the committee's input, what you all think. Probably we're talking 10-minute presentation, 5-minute question and answer, 45 minutes up to an hour. Got to move your committee, Mike.
We could work on land bank. Yeah, we talked about, you know, trying to coincide it with other legislative meetings. You couldn't do it before, really not enough time to do it before your legislative meeting, either for presentation of the budget next week or for your main meeting. So could either do it after your other options would be after your main meeting on what is it, the 25th, or a complete separate date, but we're trying to align it with days that you folks are generally here as opposed to everyone trying to come on a day during the week.
Well, that's true. So Any other thoughts? After the monthly meeting?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good in the monthly meeting.
Shannon?
The next legislature, full legislature meeting.
So the 25th? So I'll work with Tess to make sure the next step will be the speakers. If they are not available, do you want us to use AIP, which would be the 4th, as a backup?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be for general information, you know, just to keep ahead of the curve on this thing. So any further questions on that?
And there would not, if it's a special AIP committee, just so that everyone knows, there would not be public comment.
Good luck with that.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
It's an open public meeting, but it would not be public comment.
We'll get their presentations ahead of time.
We could certainly request it. Yeah.
Okay. And can you give us an idea of the variety of speaker? You said Cornell's going to send somebody.
Yeah. We're trying to, you know, Tess had some good contacts. Essentially you want, I think, to hear from experts, you know, in academic or science, specifically on PFAS, and then also, you know, the views of farmers. Instead of asking individual farmers coming in, Tess and I were talking about the Farm Bureau or something like that. So Sierra Club is, yeah, we potentially could get them as well. So we're trying to get, and it doesn't have to be your only meeting. Just kind of your first, I guess.
Yeah, we want to balance. So the way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might. Anything further on that? Jack, you all set?
All set.
This committee, but have we ever interviewed publicly our new communication person?
Yeah, that's a good point. Eddie Van Stein is sitting back there. He is taken over as of last week, public information. I think he's doing a great job so far, and expect that to continue, certainly. So it's been nice having him as part of the team.
So he's under contract? Is that how it works?
Part-time employee.
Part-time employee. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here. Morning, everyone.
Thanks, Hilda.
He already was covering our annual Cornell Farm Extension annual meeting last week.
We made sure we got him on the payroll before then.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Thank you, folks.